the Feel Better station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
It's another final hooter on the lovely.com and Radio General. And we've just had the state of mind round in Super League. How's your mind? What's your mind like at the minute?
I think it's all right. I'm feeling all right as well. Yeah, yeah.
But I'm happy, yeah.
So, state of mind, what was it all about?
You tell me.
You've got the piece of paper in front of you.
See, I was going to say, I wonder what Marlon Kukash's mind's like at this moment in time.
He'd be worried, man. Worried, man, because Salford's going to have to fight their way back through the qualifiers, aren't they?
Listen, it was the right decision. Don't care what the doc says, it was the right decision.
Yeah, I'm not convinced. Because how can something take 2 years to get through? It's meant to be a live cap.
Yeah, sure.
This throws up all kinds of stuff for the rugby league to look into, as far as I'm concerned. I just think that there's too much at stake these days. They need to make sure that if somebody is breaking the cap, that they can find out in the year that they actually do it. Well, don't wait 2 years and then punish clubs.
Yeah, let them deal with that one. That's too much for me to deal with. And we could be here all year talking about it. We've only got 40 minutes. And we've got a lot to get through.
We have got a lot to get through.
Anyway, but even so, state of mind. This story is the round, the rugby league, where you're meant to talk about your feelings, eat well, keep in touch, take a break, accept who you are, keep active, drink sensibly. Yeah, I do that. Ask for help. Do something you're good at. Care for others. I'm sure that went out the window when the ball kicked off. Care for others? No. There's no mates on the field.
Oh, there is.
Not
if you're,
opposition.
There is if you're teammates, but just not if you're in opposition to somebody.
And Sean O'Loughlin didn't care when he come up with a big high tackle on Chris Anakin.
Yeah, he flattened him.
Flattened him. And he only got one match.
Absolutely took him out. He was actually sent up as a grade C, which is a recommended 2 to 3 matches, isn't it, I think?
Yeah.
But then, next thing you know, Sir Sean goes to the disciplinary, has his beak at the ready, and they reduce it down to a match and £300.
He took into consideration it was his first ever disciplinary appearance and dismissal as well. So
listen,
after all that, they've been a bit lenient. Everyone might think they've been a bit lenient.
So if I go
Chris out, Chester's called it a joke.
Yeah, exactly. If I
so
go out,
Chris Chester will probably get a longer ban than a heavier fan than Sean O'Loughlin.
What if I go out this Friday night and
go on,
that I'll give somebody a short arm, Sean O'Loughlin style? What
on the streets of Lee?
Yeah, what will happen to me?
They'll probably buy you a pint.
No, I don't think so. I think I'd get locked up. I'd certainly get a stiffer suspension than that anyway. It's a ridiculous decision. Don't care who it is.
Anyway, joking aside, it was a good weekend for State of Mind. It's all about players and people alike within the world of rugby league and in general life, just to show your emotions. Don't bottle it up, and just to let you know that there are people you can contact.
Very much so. I mean, State of Mind's been around for about 2 or 3 years now, hasn't it? And I know that they do an awful lot of work, not only for rugby league players,
but
they go out to other sports as well, don't they? Other sports clubs, they can always be contacted. And Adrian, you've got the piece of paper. How can they be contacted?
stateofmindsport.org.
Thank you.
Yeah, short and sweet, isn't it?
I like that. We didn't practice that at all, but I thought it went quite smoothly, that.
No, we never. I was just trying to make a joke of Sean O'Loughlin, but there you go. It's a more serious aspect to State of Mind. But we've got plenty to talk about. We've got plenty of people that we're going to hear from as well. I mean, for example, Chris Stott caught up with Magic Martin Ridyard. So I nearly called him Magic Ridyard. Probably is for the Leaf fans.
Magic Martin Ridyard. I believe it was on a Sunday.
Joe Rolson caught up with Darryl Powell after Rangi Chase, another man who's being a bit of a strange character within the world of rugby league, makes a welcome return back to the place where he feels the love.
I'm a little bit worried though, because he said this at his last two clubs he signed for, that he's wanted to feel the love again, and I hope it does work out for him. Seriously, I do. But we're going to hear more about Darryl Powell.
Hot
decision
on the heels of, and they said Frank Burke, Greg Burke.
Greg Burke signing,
signed for Widnes. Frank Paul, you have to do a lot of editing on this one. Frank Paul Nusala. Yeah, he landed in the country. So Steve Mann has caught up with him. We'll hear from Dennis Betts and Kieran Cunningham.
Hey, you got those mentioned quickly enough.
And Willie Poaching as well. And young centre Joe Wardle, he's in Australia at the minute. We're in Warrington, he's in Australia.
Hey, I noticed that the England Academy squad, they've been watching the State of Origin game, haven't they?
Have they
today?
Now? So, trying to learn some new tricks.
They got good seats as well.
Did they?
Yeah, they did. They were taking pictures and putting them all on Twitter earlier today.
Is one of them Joe Wardle?
I don't know, because I don't know what he looks like.
He was a shy lad, I'll give him that. But he's only young.
Excellent.
I'm sure he'll learn from the experience of being grilled by me.
He'll develop. Listen, you're nobody in rugby league unless you've been grilled by Adrian Jackson.
Yeah. With two rounds of toast and a piece of bacon.
What is he buying? Are you buying breakfast?
No.
No, you were just grilling him and, yeah, and serving it.
Just
with the
grilling him up, yeah.
Mwah, 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 mwah. It's another joke.
Speaking of Willie poaching as well, just after they did that interview, it was announced like the day after that Hutchinson Rovers were going to be letting his services go on to somewhere else.
Did he give you any indication that he might have been leaving? You know,
no,
so
not at all.
It makes me wonder how much he knew about it then.
Probably not a lot, because I did ask him how's life and he said, yeah, it's great, fine, lovely.
I mean, everything's been said that he's on the lookout for a first team position, and there's bound to be a couple knocking around by the end of the season, so I'm sure that he'll get fixed up somewhere, because he's done a long apprenticeship, hasn't he, in
he
the
has.
Coaching game,
yeah.
So it would be nice to see him get a job somewhere or other. There's a couple of vacancies going at the moment, isn't there, in Australia in particular, in the second tier.
I'm sure he'd prefer to stay in the UK, won't he, any longer than that.
I don't know, maybe
might fancy being the head coach in the Championship.
Could do, there might be some jobs coming up there very soon.
Yeah, you never know.
You know, Championship 1, he might decide that he'll go there. There will be a couple of jobs going there as well.
How do you know?
Listen, when you've been
Have you got your finger on the pulse?
Well, I won't go that far, but when you've been around rugby league as long as I have,
okay,
you get to have a feeling that, you know, players, coaches, they're going to move on, aren't they? You know, so I've just got a feeling that there's going to be, what, I reckon three jobs up by the end of the season. I'm not sure which ones, but there is going to be three jobs up at the end of the season.
Wasn't just Sean O'Loughlin who wasn't feeling the love this weekend in rugby league. Carlton Roach for Featherstone wasn't feeling it as well, as he was suspended for three matches.
Yeah, same grade.
And fined £100 for hitting Phillips from Workington.
Yeah,
and got his first name. What's his first name?
Well, it'll be one or two of them, because it'll be either Callum Phillips or Brett Phillips.
Right, one of them two.
One of them two. So, but we know that there's two of them playing for Workington anyway. Yeah,
Is that the same?
That was sent up as a grade C though, so it's the same charge.
Same charge, yeah.
But yeah, he's got three matches and O'Loughlin's got one. Something doesn't add up there, does it?
O'Loughlin's not been there before. Maybe young Roach has.
No, it's because he wears that Wigan shirt. I'm sure it is. Marwan Kukash seems to
what
think...
What are you trying to say?
Marwan Kukash seems to think that the RFL has it in for other clubs.
Are you sure about that?
He's raised it. He's put it on his Twitter page. I'm just reiterating. And my own thought is that, you know, there should be more consistency with regards to what bans are handed out. And that's just what I feel anyway.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
I mentioned Greg Burke signing for Widnes. I originally did say, nearly said Frank. And just thinking off air then, Frank Burke, is that his brother? Could be a great player.
I have no idea. I thought that you got heads up on some talent coming through somewhere, Adrian. You know, because I know how close you watch the amateur game. I know how schooled you are in rugby league matters.
Yeah.
You just made it up, didn't you?
Frank Burke sounds like a cracking Wigan name.
Yeah, you just made it up, didn't you?
Just like Bob Bezzett was always a great Wigan name.
Bob Bezzett, yeah. Shame he's not played this season, actually.
Yeah. Where is Bob Bezzett?
He's had an issue with his ankle all season, so that's sort of ruled him out, unfortunately.
One player that has had issues within the world of rugby league over the last couple of seasons or so. Okay, is it fair to say that with Rangi Chase, a couple of seasons?
I think it would be fair to say that, yeah. It didn't really work out for him at Lee.
Didn't work out for him at Lee. We thought we'd seen the end of Rangi Chase as a rugby league player in this country, and then all of a sudden he pops up at the place where he says he feels the love of where it all began, and they couldn't resist having another opportunity to pull on the famous colours of Castleford Tigers.
Daryl, first Rangi Chase, where did that come from?
Yeah, just chance text messages really. He wishes all the best against Wigan a few weeks back in the Challenge Cup, and then after the game we had a couple of texts and sort of went from there. So it came out of nowhere really, a bit of a bolt out of the blue, and once it sort of came up, I thought, well, it's a no-brainer for me. I think if we can get him back to anywhere near where he was before and get him fit, then I think he'd be a great acquisition for the club.
So pleased to have him back. How's he been in the first few days training?
Yeah, he's training well. He's, yeah, he had a he pulled out of the first day. It was a real tough session, and he hadn't trained for about 3 months, so it's always tough that you get start getting into contact. He did some contact work today, so it's been good. I keep telling him to calm down with the ball. He's just getting used to having the ball in his hands again, and it's great to have him on board. I think, you know, players have taken to him. They can see how skillful he is and what he's going to offer to everybody.
Has it been a bit of a boost for the squad? Because obviously it's been a bit of a tough run of results, and the injury list just keeps getting longer and longer as well.
Yeah, I think it probably has. Obviously there's a bit of a mix. There's some players who might think that's going to be tough for me, and then there's other players who know it'll benefit them. So it's a mix. But I think overall players are really pleased that there's someone coming in who can practice, fix some of the issues that we've had, and obviously create competition for places in the squad.
Darryl Powell talking about the signing of Rangi Chase.
And I think it's a really good thing to see Rangi Chase coming back into rugby league. I was really sorry that it didn't work out for him at Lee, because on his day he's a very talented individual. He's probably got more skill in his little finger than a lot of players have over the course of their careers. But I'm definitely hoping that Rangi Chase Mark II works out at Castleford.
Oh, without doubt, because he is a talent, isn't he? But he does have issues regarding where his mind is.
Yeah, but hopefully he's spoken to the right people. Hopefully, he's come back to the game with more focus, and we'll see the best of Rangi. If he gets anywhere near it, he's going to be an asset to your squad, because he is just that type of miracle player. You called Martin Ridyard, albeit by accident, Magic Ridyard.
Magic Ridyard, yeah.
But, Rangi Chase really does have gold dust sprinkled on him. He is the magic man when given the opportunity, as his cameo appearances for Salford showed over the last couple of seasons.
Now, Rangi Chase, fair to say, might be coming towards the back end of his career.
Mm-hmm.
Just starting off his career, his youngster at Huckinson Rovers, Joe Wardle, he played for Rovers against Warrington in that epic draw at the New Craven Stadium. He's actually earned the right to play for England's Academy in Australia. But let's hear from Joe Wardle as he talks about that game against Warrington. Joe Wardle, a crazy 80 minutes of rugby league action, but Hooky, I must be pleased to come out with something at last for your efforts.
Yeah, we are pleased to get in the 1 point, but we feel like it's still a missed chance considering how much we were in the game, even with 12 men. But we've just got to keep putting the effort in, and the results will come out.
So the effort was there in abundance, despite you was a man down.
Yeah, you saw at the end everybody would put everything in, and there's nothing more that could be left on the field. So we've just got to keep pushing forward, and the results will start coming our way.
As you noticed in front at 10 there, did you think you could even still hang on?
I thought so, but it was a tough game to judge, really.
But confidence must have been high at half time.
Yeah, it was very high at half time to come back out. As we thought, as long as we defended well, we'd still be okay.
And when they scored, they must have been pleased to have had the final say, because it was that never say die attitude that got you through the full 18 man down.
Well, I think we just said there isn't much time left. There's time left. We've got time to get back into the game. We knew as soon as we got in the half, we were a threat, even with 12 men. And thankfully, the ball came down to Fawns and then straight for the try.
Do you want to find your way into the world of rugby league? How do you find it in the first team?
I think it's tough when you get into it. You try and grow into it as much as you can, but I don't think it's ever going to be easy, whatever age you are. So it's just great to be in it at such a young age.
You're off on international duties next weekend. That's going to be different.
Yeah, very different. Don't know where I'll be playing yet, position-wise, but hopefully, wherever they pick me for, hopefully they'll pick me in a game and get some good games in Australia.
There you go, he's off to Australia. Where's he going to be playing?
He's going to be playing for the England Academy.
Position? He doesn't know.
I would imagine centre if he's gone across as a
centre. Of course, yeah.
Yeah, he'll be the first pick. You'll have actually picked the next English superstar there to interview. That was an exclusive interview by Adrian Jackson. I hope you're going to remember that.
An exclusive one.
Well, I hope you remember it, for when he's right at the top of his game and he's playing in the NRL and you're thinking, hang on, I interviewed that kid, first of all.
Yeah, he had a good game against Warrington in the centres. One, two people actually were watching the game and saying probably his best game he's had for them since being in the first team.
Yeah, and fair play, sometimes it takes players a little bit of time to develop and to settle in, doesn't it? Mm. And centre is one of those awkward type of positions, isn't it? Where if you make a mistake, usually in a Super League, you've got somebody scoring against you, so you've got to be pretty tidy, haven't you? And you've got to be confident in your own abilities to get through it. And obviously, young Joe Wardle has both of those in abundance. And let's hope that he does a good tour in Australia.
Well, have you thought that in interview with me and Joe Wardle was an exclusive for the fan who said on Radio General and loverugbyleague.com. We've got an exclusive interview right now with the newest recruit to Super League. Go on, you say him. I'm sick of getting his name wrong. Frank Paul who?
Frank Paul Nuasala, who caught up with Steve Manning on Tuesday.
Well, Frank, welcome to Wigan. You've been here a few hours. How's the jet lag? And how are you feeling yourself?
Feel a bit tired. But besides that, like, pretty excited, and I'm glad I'm at Wigan, and I'm just so eager just to train with the boys today, and they'd be pretty welcoming. Like, they seem like a good bunch of blokes, and hopefully I'll be accepted and earn my respect through the training and playing.
Now, you played against some of the Wigan players that are currently in the side. Was that one of the reasons that you came over, knowing that you'd know some of the players, having locked horns with them a couple of years ago?
Yeah, just like I said, Wigan's an awesome club, and they're really strong, and like, I admire how Lachlan plays. He's like, the way he plays, and I reckon he's one of the best loose forwards in the game or in the history, and he's did a lot in Wigan's, and just to run off him and the way he plays, I reckon I can run through some holes off him, and it'll be awesome to play off him.
And you joined the side as they've just got the number one spot in the league, so it's a great time to be here.
Yeah, that's always an awesome time coming. Wigan's doing well, and I just want to keep the momentum going. I don't want it to stop, so hopefully we can carry it through.
And what can the fans expect from you on the field?
It's probably just the way I run and my nonsense attitude, you know. Just when time gets tough, just put my hand forward and just go forward.
Leeds Rhinos are the team this weekend that the side are playing. Are you likely to be in that, or do you want to be in that one?
Yeah, I definitely want to be playing this week, but it depends on the medical stuff. I just flew in yesterday afternoon, so if I'm not right, I won't play. Like I said, I want to respect the jersey. I just don't want to play because here already, I'm now a bit jet lag, and it's pretty tough ask to play on Friday if you come on Monday. If it was on Saturday or Sunday, I reckon I'll be a big chance to play. But it depends, like, I don't mind, like, take it day by day, and hopefully I'll play this week.
There he is, the man himself, Frank Paul Nuasala.
That's right, you got it right, Adrian.
Get
you should
there.
See the smile
yes.
on his face. He's yes. celebrating here in the studio.
Yes.
And of course, he's a top class NRL forward that's come across to play for Wigan. Yeah. And he's been doing great stuff for Canberra Raiders until recently.
Well, obviously, someone had to make way for the man himself. And it's Wigan's been benefited by getting young Greg Burke.
Yeah, yeah, who, again, you know, I think I've said it a couple of times already in the last couple of weeks. But, you know, Greg Burke's a very honest forward. He does the. Does the tough stuff and does it of good standard every time, you know. So I think that he'll probably be better off for going to another club, because he wasn't getting a lot of game time in fairness at Wigan. And, you know, we get to see Frank Paul Nuasala hopefully lighting up Super League.
I was impressed with the fact that he could actually understand Steve Manning first time of asking.
Well, yeah, I mean, I struggle to understand Steve, yeah. And we speak to him every week.
Every week we do, yeah. Without a doubt, because he has got a proper Wigan accent.
It's a very thick Wigan accent, isn't it? I heard a rumour, actually, off one of the other interviews that Frank Paul Nuasala did that day, and he said being in Wigan reminded me of watching Coronation Street, so that's like quite a good thing, isn't it? I wonder whether he's popped into the Rovers yet then.
I wonder if there's a pie yet.
I wonder whether anybody's even asked him that. Surely now he's been over a couple of days.
He must have had a pie by now. Must have done. One of Wigan's finest. The way you're looking at me, you look like you've enjoyed a few Wigan's finest pies.
Hey, stop it. I'm losing weight. What are you on about?
No, but the way
you
had that content look. You're just remembering those lovely pies.
Remembering what it was like. Yeah, I once got accused of eating the last one in the Wigan press box, by the way, didn't I? Which I never did.
Yeah.
Never did.
I remember years, no, I won't even go there.
No, they won't
let me in the ground if I ever reveal that one. Anyway, let's hear from some more players. We've already called him Magic Ridgar. Let's stick with it, shall we? Let's hear from Magic Ridgar from the Centurions.
A good win against a team up there with you in Halifax. How does it feel?
Yeah, brilliant victory.
We knew it could have gone two ways. We could have either put him to the side, as we did, but still, obviously, he was to improve on. Oh, it was going to be a scratchy game, and a team like Halifax, usually, it's a bit closer, isn't it? So it's a credit to our boys for having a good dig, especially that first half. I thought we was pretty clinical. We didn't really do too much fancy stuff. We just blasted them up the middle, which is what we aim to do, and try and get them in corners. And, yeah, a good result end of the day.
And would you say it's one of your better performances this season as a group?
Yeah, I think so. I can't speak for London because I weren't there, but I heard the first half though were brilliant. So obviously for me personally, I think that's probably one of the best wins I've been involved with this year.
And you've just come back into the team for this one in your favourite position. You know, what's it been like? Obviously you've had a bit of chopping and changing with Josh, Ben and Travis and yourself all battling for that position.
Yeah, I'll not lie, it's been tough. I probably didn't take it too well at first. Obviously, it's the you've got to respect the decisions of the staff either way. So I've just knuckled down, carrying on with my training, and which is what you've got to do. You can't be at home sulking. I know there's loads of rumours going around at the moment about this and that. But yeah, I'm here for to do a job end of the day.
And what's it like playing behind that pack? Obviously, they set the platform for you, and you've been working really well off it today.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Obviously, when they get that role on, it does make it a lot easier for us, but then we've got to make them decisive decisions at the end. Like I think with Josh there on the left, I think he's made some good decisions today again. We just keep them forwards rolling us up the field and leave us to hopefully keep making the correct decisions.
And it's a hat-trick of league leaders Shields now. You've been involved in all three of them. You know, how big of an achievement is it?
Yeah, it's a massive achievement. Obviously, the main goal is the middle eights. It's nice to get this bit of silverware, but we've got to really kick on now. Fresh competition. It's nice to get one box ticked off. Obviously, the next one's the middle eights, and the minimum we want is £1 million game, isn't it? So hopefully we can kick on and obviously do better than last year.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
£1 million, I could do with £1 million.
Yeah, I think most clubs in the Championship could.
Certainly, ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching.
Certainly if you're in the top four. I mean, but thanks very much to Chris Stott for catching up with Martin Ridyard there. We also want to extend our thanks to Lee Centurions TV for letting us use the audio.
Yeah, well done to Lee, by the way. Three consecutive league leaders' wheel trims.
Yeah.
That's nice.
And they sewed it up with a really comprehensive performance against third place Halifax. They beat them 58-18.
It's shaping up nicely in the qualifying fours, isn't it? I mean, in the Championship, you've got London. Well done to them. They've guaranteed themselves second place as well, haven't they? And then there's a real fight for the other two places. You've got Halifax in with a shout, Featherstone, Bradford, Batley.
Yep.
Who's going to miss out?
Oh, I tell you what, I mean, I've been looking at the running, to be honest.
Who is going to miss out?
Interestingly, over the next couple of games, Batley's got London at home and Swinton away, so you might expect them to get maybe 2 points from that.
I don't know, Swinton are going well though, aren't they?
Halifax have got Featherstone at home and London at home.
Wow.
Bradford, I've got Oldham at home and Featherstone away. And Featherstone, I've got Halifax away and Bradford at home.
You just can't pick a winner for them,
so
lot, could you?
Crikey, you know,
who is going to miss out? I mean, Bradford missed a court there. That's unbearable for them, isn't it? Unthinkable.
It would be, because their funding would drop from £700,000, I think they got last season, down to £225,000 for next year. So there's some tough decisions to be made if they miss out on the top four. I think they'll do it though. I think with the running that they've got, I think they'll
slightly
sneak
easy,
into the top four.
Enough to get in there.
Yeah, I mean, they had the chance really a couple of weeks ago, Bradford, and blew it at Lee. Mm. You know, because they were in charge of the game in the second half, were in front by 20-16 with about 15 minutes remaining. Then Lee, like they did in the summer bash, came and hit them late on with a try. I don't think it was quite as late as the one that happened at Blackpool, but you know, even so, Bradford played almost the perfect game, but still weren't able to come up with a win against Lee.
That was a couple of weeks ago, but give us a rundown of what happened last weekend in the last round of action of the Championship.
Okay, so the last weekend, and we heard the Lee defeating Halifax by a comprehensive margin. Oldham, they've come into a real bit of form at the moment. They defeated Swinton 26-24. Bradford had a big win against Whitehaven. They were 52-0 up at half time, but lost the second half 18-12,
wow,
interestingly enough, against Whitehaven. I know you've praised London, and they do deserve some praise, but
they
seem to have gone off the boil the last couple of weeks because they lost to lowly Sheffield.
They know they're guaranteed second spot, so they can take it easy for a bit, can't
they? Awaiting Jamie Soward to arrive.
Well, that'll make a difference.
I think it will. I think he's a classy halfback, isn't he? isn't he? You know, and we'll obviously be looking at maybe a Super League contract for next season. He's in the shop window, isn't he?
Well, rumours are he could be going to Wigan if Kevin Brown goes to Saints.
Bottom of the table, Workington, they defeated Dewsbury, and for Dewsbury, they've been perhaps the underperformers of the championship this year.
Yeah,
I tipped them at the start of the year, and they find themselves. Down
I fancied
them
in there as well, but it's just not happened for Morris men, has it?
No,
you'd be mad.
They've lost 14 games this season. You know, which is far too many.
Fuming mad.
And then, of course, everybody's been talking about Batley and how well they've been going. They've had a great season, don't get me wrong. But they got rolled pretty easily on their own turf by Featherstone at the weekend, 34-6.
Yeah.
So, you know, that suggests that maybe the collie wobbles are starting to come in there at Batley. I know that's a technical term, that, isn't it?
I'm sure the experience of John Kerr will get them through it, though.
You would think so. You would think so. I mean, they've been in those positions all the way through the season. But for me, they need to win both of the games that they've got remaining. Into League One.
Getting more exciting down there, isn't it?
Very much so. Yeah, very much so. League One sees Toulouse top. They've only dropped 1 point all season.
No surprises there,
no,
to be honest.
No,
I mean, if you spoke to any coach in League One, they would have said the same thing before a ball was kicked. They should have been in the Championship.
Yeah, they've got to fight their way through, though, haven't they? You know, it's only the first thing to do. If you're coming in as a new club, you should be fighting your way through from the bottom.
I understand that,
Rochdale, they deserve a lot of praise because they finished second after the stage, the first stage of the season. Only one loss in that lot as well, you know, which is of great credit. York are third, Doncaster fourth. Barrow, they've disappointed me this season because I thought that they got the personnel there to really push on and claim a top two or three position, and it's not happened for
them. You
know
who disappointed me this year in League One? Newcastle Thunder.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you see, I saw them when they played against Lee Miners on the first game of their season.
Right.
And I was a little bit disappointed in them. So for me, yeah, they've only just missed the cut. They've only missed it by a point, but they're not in the top eight.
Should have been higher up.
Interestingly enough, though, Rugby League has brought in the Championship One Shield this year.
Okay, something to play for.
So there's a Super Eights, Championship One Super Eights, where basically everyone will play off over the next 7 weeks. The fixtures have already been announced for that today.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not going to go through them all, so don't worry about that. But interestingly enough, there will be another trophy on offer for one of the, shall we say, lower base clubs there. Now, you would fancy, because in that bottom, what, six or seven clubs in League One, there's Newcastle and North Wales who are that much ahead of the rest. So you would fancy them to maybe contest the final of that Shield.
It's going to be a season into the unknown for North Wales, wasn't it? Because of all the stuff that happened off the field before a ball was kicked, would he even get to the end of the season? Well, they've shown they have. And I think they've done okay.
They've done
a lot better than what they first thought.
I think, especially if you look at the point difference, I think the point difference is only something like minus 19 or minus 20. So, you know, they've been very, very close to a lot of teams.
It's all doom and gloom before a ball was kicked down in Wrexham.
Anthony Murray has done a sterling job there in bringing his squad back together, or bringing a squad back together.
At least you can even say, we've got the bragging rights in Wales because they finished way above South Wales Scorpions. That, and for me, it's just not happening for them at all.
That's right, but the they are going to play off in a derby game again, aren't they? So the Pride of Wales will be up for grabs once again this season in the Shield fixtures. For me, the big disappointment, it's got to be Hemel at the bottom.
Yeah.
They really have lost ground, because I thought a couple of years ago they seemed to have signed three or four half-decent players, and they just don't seem to have really kicked on.
Oxford as well, they've not really kicked on, have they?
No, just the one win for them as well, and they just stand above Hemel with a slightly better point difference.
Yeah, not good for them. Hopefully they'll come back all guns blazing next season with a better recruitment record.
Definitely, yeah. But I do think that in that bottom division, there's plenty to play for, because even if the team that finishes top of that, they play off against the team that finishes second, and the loser of that gets another chance.
Who's going to win it?
Toulouse are going to go up.
Yeah.
And I fancy Rochdale to go up, actually, this year.
I do.
Yeah, I do. And
we both agree.
And I think Alan Killshaw's done a sterling job since he's gone in there as well.
Certainly has.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
What were we on about? We were on about League One, weren't we?
We were.
And who was going to win it?
We were.
And who's going to win the Championship one, then?
What do you mean? Is anybody going to get promoted this year?
Yeah, who's going to get? Is anyone going to get promoted? Because unfortunately, I mean, this, all the interest is going to be in the qualifying eight again, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's not Lee's fault that the club's 5-2-8 are rubbish in Super League, is it?
I mean, unfortunately, any hopes that anyone from the Championship may have of winning that £1 million game or even crashing into the top three, well, it looks like the way it's looking. And it's a very strong bottom four, isn't it? You've got Leeds. No one ever thought Leeds would be in there.
No, nobody thought Huddersfield would
be
there.
No one thought Huddersfield would be in there. Too many H's there.
Yeah.
Salford are in there by default, as they're going to say.
Which is a shame, because they've been much better this season, haven't they?
And Hull KR, again.
Yeah, Hull KR seemed to be the one that I'd be fancying to knock off if I was a Championship club, in all honesty. But, yes, I'm not going to make any brash predictions.
No, I neither am not. It's too dangerous.
But I do want to say that I think that Lee will win more games in the eights this year than last year. They only won one game last year, by the way.
And be honest with you, in the race for Old Trafford as it is for the rest of the top eight, you can't really pick a clear winner out of them, Mark, can
you?
No, because no one's playing really consistently well, are they?
Well, it's like, I mean, you know, Wigan are defending particularly well at the moment, but they've been scratchy on attack all year, haven't they? But they have come into a bit of form over the last couple of weeks, haven't they, with the wins that they had, particularly the one that they had in Catalans the other week. That was a really big game for them. But they kind of like scrapped the way home a little bit against Wakefield. And, you know, the rest of the top four seems to be on a little bit of dodgy form recently. Particularly Hull, who seem to be, like I mentioned before about Batley getting the collie wobbles in the Championship, Hull seem to be struggling in the top league, don't they?
Yeah, without that, and they've got a derby to coming up as well against Hulkinson Rovers. Rovers will be up for that one because they know their top eight hopes are hanging by the fingernails, but they did themselves a huge boost by winning the last round of the Super League and coming up with a hard-earned draw against, what was the last win against?
The last win came against Huddersfield, yeah. Ben Kane kicking four goals in it, which helped him to the win.
Yeah, he's on kicking duties as well against Warrington, but they snatched a late draw to give themselves a fighting chance, shall we say. Let's hear from Willie Poulton. Willie Poulton, you know, he's hard playing against 13 aside, but when you're a man down, what an effort from Hull KR to snatch the point at the end.
Yeah, it was. It was courageous, given the circumstances, and I will review the incident and see what happened, but... You know, our backs were definitely against the wall with 13 players against a class outfit like Warrington. But, yeah, as you said, with 12 men, it was a big hurdle to overcome. And we saw some really brave efforts out there from some of our lads and some from the opposition too. They came up with some smart plays, especially after half-time, to make it a nail-biter. And I just thought we gave them too many opportunities with some of our errors, and they, you know, and this is why I talk about us being courageous. That we had to repel attack after attack after attack on our line, and you know they deserve to get some credit for this. And I think a point was probably justified with the amount of ball we gave the opposition, but you know it would have been nice to take the two, but it's better than nothing.
It's better than nothing, but some of the defensive decisions cost you towards the end, but you did enough just to get the point.
Yeah, and some of that's down to fatigue and the amount of workload that some of our people, obviously when you lose a player and you're down and a man on the field, it affects your rotation somewhat, and some players had to play some longer minutes, and it took some of the sting out, but you know this game is about turning up for your mate and always having each other's back, and we saw some of that today. But you know there were moments when they were just too smart for us, and some of that's individual, some of that's collective, and we'll have a look at that. But there's some good signs for us going forward. We've got a tough one against Huddersfield, but you know we're not out of it yet. We're in a position where we've got to rely on some other results, but you know we're still giving ourselves a shout. We're still hanging on by our claws, but. We're not going to go down without a fight.
Any signs of encouragement in the fact you did score your tries when you were a man down?
Yeah. You know, the one just before half time was encouraging, and the boys were really positive coming in, and then to get one straight after was a really nice touch of a last play running effort. But you know, you'd like to think you probably get home if you have the 13 men, but you know, we're talking about that rather than some of the big efforts.
Mention some of the effort and what a comeback was for Kenneth Hill, really influential throughout the game.
Yeah, and he only arrived midweek, and congrats to Kenny. He's just become a father of twins whilst he was away, and you know, it was just about freshening him up. He hadn't done a lot as far as training was concerned. He came and had a run with the boys yesterday, but yeah, he's immense for us, and how we carry the ball is not just his workload, but he's making 10, 15 metres off every carry. And you know, we missed him against St Helens, but yeah, it was nice to see him out here today. He needs a good rest now. He can go home and get a sleep.
He will need a sleep having twins, won't he?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
If you look at the form Hokey Harris showed over the last couple of matches, the faithful of the Rovers fans must be thinking, where's that form? Where's it been? Why has it not turned up earlier?
Exactly, yeah. Webster seems to be having a real positive effect there, doesn't he? I mean, if there's one person that knows how that club runs, it is Webster, and I'm really pleased for him, to be honest. And, you know, he's a very honest individual. He's a solid coach. I thought he was unlucky with the cards that he got dealt with there at Wakefield. He probably paid for his job after they lost 80 points to nil in Furness against Warrington last season, because he said then his side was preparing for the bottom eights. So you know, it's just one of those, isn't it? But yeah, Hull Kingston Rovers are giving themselves a bit of a fighting chance, and I certainly hope that they're able to put some more pressure on, because it just makes the last couple of weeks interesting, doesn't it?
It's going to be interesting. But two teams that are already guaranteed a place in the top eight are Widnes Vikings and St Helens. Went head to head at Lantree Park, wasn't a cracker. Saints got the job done. Widnes had chance. Didn't take the chances, did they? Never got the result. But Dennis Betts' boys know they're going to be in the top eight. And St Helens, well, for them, they're still fighting for the top four players. So we'll leave the last words with Betts and Cunningham. What a way to end the podcast.
Excellent.
Yeah, we've been frustrated. I think the players are frustrated. You go in there and there's a disappointment etched in them that this is one that got away. You know, it was a real tight game, and both sides probably deserved, feel like both coaches just feel like they both sides deserve something out of it. We had opportunities even in the last 4 or 5 minutes. I thought that Kev Brown had done enough to get over the try line at one stage to get us the win, and thought John Mellor wasn't far off. And it was one of those games where we made a couple of line breaks and just couldn't finish them off. But defensively, St Helens were really strong and desperate. I think we were as well on our goal line.
Well, in that last 5 minutes, that's what won the game, wasn't it? That their defence, when you were trying to get something to come away with a point.
Yeah, well, I think you could just look at our defence on the other side of it as well. We were a couple of times when it was 10-all and we were at our backs to the wall, and we had to make some desperate defensive efforts. And I think, like you said, it was decided on a penalty from a high shot that, like I say, that it's one of those, you've seen plenty of them in the game, and the referee managed to pick that one out in a good position for them to score the points. But it's a tough game, it's a tough to take. Reflection, everybody likes to look at the fact that Widnes have come here and they've done really well, and it doesn't feel like that anymore. It feels like we've come here and we should have won.
Well, Kieran, it wasn't pretty, but a win's a win, and those 2 points could be crucial when you look what's coming up in the next 9 games.
Yeah, well, I spoke to the team at half time and I sort of challenged them to defend our way to victory, and I don't think there could be a more poignant phrase to describe that. You know, I thought we did defend our way to victory, and we did it emphatically. I thought Widnes threw lots and lots of stuff at us, and you know, we just bided our time, and you know, probably was in a bit too much of a defensive mode in that second half. You know, we stopped being as fluent as what we was with the ball, but you know, we hung in there and we fought hard, and you know, we got our just rewards.
You got off to a great start, got the, you know, the try, and then the try just before half time. But that kick of Mark Percival to win the game showed remarkable composure, didn't it? Because the pressure was on at that moment.
It was, yeah. I mean, we should have posted. And I wouldn't like to, you know, probably over-exaggerate, but we probably blew 3 or 4 tries in the game, you know. And if you post one of them, you know, we actually blew a try before he gave the penalty to Johnny. So, you know, Johnny should be putting his winger away there. But we had lots of opportunities we didn't quite post, and you're not going to get them all right. That's just the way sport goes. But, you know, I just like the way we did it. You know, I like how good he was defensively, and just that fight amongst the group, you know, to not post points. I mean, it could have been quite easy at some point to just turn it up and just not work hard enough for each other, and every one of them to a man, I thought they worked tirelessly for each other. You know, they was hand in hand in the victory.
Find out more. Go to radiogeneral.co.uk.
This is
Warrington Hospital's Feel Better Station.
Radio General.
Keep in touch via Twitter.
Just follow at Radio General WHR.
Your feel better station.
Radio General.
Across Warrington Hospital.
Across Warrington Hospital. With a bigger variety of music.
This is your feel better station.
Radio General.